portion of our message today, we'll be sharing from four women reflecting on the example of Ruth and Naomi from our story. And I just want, the scripture reading is going to be after that. I'm going to read Ruth 2, and just make a couple comments about how we see the providence of God in that. But I just to get our minds back into the story of Ruth, I just want to recap how it started in the first chapter. Naomi and her husband Elimelech live in Bethlehem. There's a famine in the land, and they're struggling, and so they go a distance to the east to Moab, a country that has been considered enemies of Israel. But they settle there, and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. They both marry, but over time, all three of the men in the story, Elimelech, the father, and then the two sons, all die. And so we're left with three widows, which in those days was a great struggle to care for oneself. And so Naomi hears, or word gets back to her, that the Lord has blessed the harvest back in Bethlehem. And so she decides she's going to go back to her people. She encourages her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, to stay there, stay amongst their people, marry. But Ruth clings to Naomi and says, I'm staying with you. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you live, I'm going to live. Your people are going to be my people. Your God will be my God. And so when Naomi sees how determined she is to continue to hold fast to her, Naomi says no more, and they make their way to Bethlehem. So we'll hear more about what happens in Bethlehem in a few minutes. But I just want to turn the mic over to several of you after the helicopter. And April and I live near Reading Hospital, and they have a medevac helicopter. And so whenever I hear a helicopter, I always say a prayer for the people in there. So we could still do that, even though it's not a medical emergency. Just pray blessing on them. Okay, Ruth Ann's going to share a little bit.
Over the years, I've read the book of Ruth quite a few times. Last week when I was reading it, there was something in the first chapter that sort of hit me. When Naomi and Ruth got back to Bethlehem and the people of the town were saying, is this Naomi? Could this be Naomi? And Naomi right away said, don't call me Naomi. You know, the Lord has taken things away from me. Call me Mara, which means bitter. And I looked it up and Naomi means pleasantness. So now she was not feeling pleasant. She was feeling bitter. And I just had to think of Ruth, who was probably standing there with her thinking, well, what about me? Yes, Naomi lost a lot. She lost her husband and her sons. But Ruth didn't have to come back with her, but Ruth stood by her and she traveled with her. Naomi didn't have to travel alone. And now she was with her to help her, and we all know that she helped her a lot with food and everything. And the thought just occurred to me, was Ruth saying, well, you know, was Ruth feeling, Naomi was thinking, you know, oh, it's not important. You know, she didn't say to the people, you know, I lost a lot, but I have this wonderful daughter-in-law who's sticking with me. Just a thought I had. And then this morning in my devotions, the devotional was called Walking with Others, or Walk with Others. And it said about how you can't take away another person's pain, but you can walk with them and let them know that you're walking with them in their pain. You can love them and be with them in their pain. And again, I just had to think of Ruth and Naomi. You know, they both were having pain because they both had losses. But they were there for each other.
Thanks. Thank you, Ruth Ann. Now we're going to hear from Lois.
Good morning, everyone. I see that we have a divided congregation. But I am very glad that we are not split. But I also wondered, are we the goats and the sheep, or is it the other way around? Anyway, this seems really strange, but I'll do the best I can. Well, the Book of Ruth has always been a beautiful story to me. And mostly as I thought about it over the years, I thought about it largely as a story ending in the birth of a baby whose ancestry led to the birth of our Savior centuries later. Main purpose of the Book of Ruth. It's a story of deep care and devotion, as Pastor Steve said in his sermon last week. But now, I suppose because of my age, I see a story that brings in a dramatic way the main hard stuff of life. Here is a family struggling to provide life's basic needs, food, sustenance. Thus, they have to move, even to a foreign country. Then it shows the need to cling to each other after 3 deaths in the family. Imagine that. Sorrow and deep grief. And then we see anger. And then we see bitterness. And we even see self-pity. And I think that these are all emotions that probably every one of us has experienced one time or another. Then there's the need to have to go on. You have to stick together. You have to decide, what are we going to do? And then the bonding. And then you have to work. You have to keep going. You have to find a way. And then in this story, Ruth and Naomi find new hope. They find food. Ruth finds romance. And then marriage. And oh joy, the birth of a baby. And the story goes on. But as soon as I studied this story, I was impressed with the in-law story part of it. The in-laws. Why were Orpha and Ruth so bonded, so close to their mother-in-law? Now, why was this? Was it because they were still attached to their dead husbands? Or was it simply a holding on for survival, a lost past? Or was it Naomi's ability to love and be an accepting mother-in-law? And then Ruth and Orpha were in their homeland and Naomi in her foreign land to make this happen. And then later, of course, Ruth in a foreign land. I am challenged by the mother-in-law deal. What about all the mother-in-law jokes that we've heard or we've told that have offended our in-laws? I want us to think about that. I think I've been guilty. I have a number of in-laws. Some are now ex-laws. But I am still in warm and close relationships with each one of them. And I love them, for I had loved them. But I ponder, how might I have done better as a mother-in-law? Have I understood their various personalities and their backgrounds. That gave them different perspectives, different habits, different ways of doing things, even things I might have called their quirks. Have I determined that if my child loves them, I will too, deeply as I should? Have I made their marriages easier over time, over the years? Or have I added to any hurts? Anyway, I want to find ways to love more deeply, to accept more fully, with that deep care and devotion that Ruth and Naomi had as we listen for God's voice in our lives.
And Janelle?
Good morning. The story of Ruth and Naomi is a great reminder of loyalty, but I think for me something that stands out is the whole story. It's a beautiful picture of redemption and how God takes ashes and brings beauty. The reminder that our circumstances do not always dictate the truth. That no matter what we are going through, even if it feels very, very difficult at the time, we may see something beautiful come from it in this life, or we may not. But that there is something greater going on. There is a greater purpose. And I think that for me is the reminder that no matter what my circumstances are, to remember that God is a God of redemption and a God who brings beauty from ashes.
Thank you, Janelle. And Sophia?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I'm struck how the Holy Spirit can be speaking to Ruth Ann and Lois and Janelle and I and tie this all together. So I just have a reflection that I wrote. Last Sunday, when we watched the video summary of the Book of Ruth, the character of Naomi stuck out to me more than usual. Sometimes, with familiar Bible stories, we tend to focus on the same things. In this case, I feel like we usually focus on the character of Ruth. But I think Naomi shows us incredible strength. In the course of two verses, which is really about 10 years, Naomi's husband and her two sons die after they've moved away from their homeland. Imagine if someone told you that story today. I know of someone who moved to a different country, and within 10 years of living there, her husband and both sons died. That's a really, really sad story. But because it's two verses and there's a lot more to the Book of Ruth, sometimes we just skip past it. So Naomi is grieving and makes a decision to move back home. I'm sure that wasn't an easy decision, and when she tells her daughters-in-law to stay in their homeland, that was a selfless decision of her. In her grief and making this tough decision about leaving them to move home, she still makes an effort to acknowledge the Lord's working in their lives. She says, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you find rest in the home of another husband." And yet, when the daughters-in-law try to go with her, and she is telling them to stay, she says, "No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." Then it says they wept aloud. Again, imagine your hardest and most heart-wrenching goodbye. So Naomi is in a pretty dark place when she gets back to Bethlehem. And when the women of Bethlehem recognize her, she says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So why focusing on all of Naomi's sadness? I really think this is a relatable part of the story for us, as Lois said. Haven't we all had those moments where we feel like God has brought misfortune on us or someone we love? I personally am currently seeing this story through the lens of having a friend of mine die recently in a car accident and leave behind her husband and 3-year-old and 1-year-old sons. When I think of them, it feels really dark and bleak, and that's why I resonate with Naomi's feelings, the Lord has brought misfortune upon me. And it's encouraging to connect with a Bible character in that way and feel like I'm not the first or only person to have these feelings. And yet, Naomi shows us that even in those dark times, we should look for redemption. She takes a big risk when she tells Ruth to meet Boaz on the threshing floor. I'm sure that's something she prayed about and thought about and didn't just decide overnight. I really think it's because deep down she believes in God's redemption of the story, and in this case, a literal redeemer for her family. Imagine how Naomi felt when things started to look up, when Boaz agreed to marry Ruth and when Ruth gets pregnant. I bet it was surreal for Naomi to see these things finally go her way after so many things going wrong. So, after Ruth gives birth to a son, the women say to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and who is better than 7 sons has given him birth. Naomi has a son." So Naomi did not know the ending at the beginning, but God redeemed her story. He is making all things new. When we are in the dark times, let's keep being reminded that God is in the business of redeeming. Even when things seem so bleak, we're allowed to feel like Naomi. That's okay. In the midst of it all, a small part of her was still looking for the Lord's hand to redeem the story, and that's what counts.
Thank you, Sophia. Isn't it great to hear testimonials, reflections, personal reflections about Scripture, along with just hearing more of the truth? Sermons. Just a comment, if you weren't here last Sunday, there's reference to a video. If you would Google the Bible Project and Ruth, you get a 5 to 7 minute recap or overview of the book of Ruth. So you can check that out. So I want to read Ruth chapter 2 for us and make a couple comments and just to open up by defining the word providence. When I was doing study of the book of Ruth, a lot of the commentators brought up this idea of providence, God's providence. And I have a general idea of what that means. And the word provide is in the midst of that word. But more specifically, providence is divine guidance and care. Divine guidance and care. And it's not just a reactive kind of care, like a child falls and cuts himself. I want to go over and bandage it up and console the child. But it's like there's forethought or there's planning and design over time. Someone who's looking out for us through it all. As we've talked about, all the ups and downs in this story, that God's providence is there and we see it come out. And the fact that God cares for us. And another way to think of it is the hand of God. The hand of God is leading us. The hand of God is protecting us. The hand of God is caring for us. And so whenever we say that was the hand of God, we're recognizing that God's involved in our story and in the story of all things. So I'm going to read Ruth chapter 2 and make some comments along the way. So by this point, the two women are back in Bethlehem. And in the first verse of chapter 2, we're introduced to Boaz. Now, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing, a man of high reputation or of high standing in the community. His name was Boaz. And then we go back to Ruth. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go into the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." So she's going out to find food and to find favor, to find a way that they can be cared for. And so that practice is called gleaning, to glean behind the harvesters. And so as it turned out, and here's this is a way, I think, that the writer of Ruth says, indirectly, that God's leading this. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. And just then, it just so happens that at that time, Boaz arrives from Bethlehem, and he greets the harvesters. "The Lord be with you." "The Lord bless you," they answer. Wouldn't you love to have a boss like that? Your boss arrives, "The Lord be with you." And we respond with a blessing back to him or her. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, "Who does that young woman belong to?" And the overseer replied, "She is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, 'Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters.' And she came into the field and has remained here from morning until now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So she's been working hard all day. "So Boaz said to Ruth, 'My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field. Don't go away from here. Listen to all the ways he cares for her here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field when the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told these men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled.' At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground and asked, 'Why have I found such favor in your eyes? I'm just a foreigner.' Boaz replied, 'I've been told all about what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland, and you came to live with a people you didn't know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.'" Another thing I noticed about the book of Ruth, especially in this chapter, is they're full of blessings. You know, whenever something happens, they're blessing the person or blessing the Lord. And Boaz's care then even multiplies. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." And when she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her." So like going beyond gleaning, let her get right into the wheat or the barley, I guess it was. "Even pull out some stalks for her and leave them for her to pick up. Don't rebuke her." So like give her extra, which is not how, typically a foreign woman would have been treated. Not even the women who worked for Boaz or the poor in their midst would be treated so well. And so her mother-in-law asked her when she got back, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you," or "Blessed be the one who took such special care of you." And then I have the NIV here. And in verse 20, this is a key verse that I want to stop at. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers." But she says, Boaz has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. So he's showing his kindness to Ruth and Naomi, but he's showing his kindness to his relative Elimelech by taking care of Elimelech's family. But in other versions, that phrase in verse 20 is a lot more ambiguous. And I think it makes a good point for us. In the New Revised Standard, this is how verse 20 goes. "Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be Boaz by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead.'" When it's said that way, "Blessed be Boaz by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." When I read that, I thought, is the writer talking about Boaz or God here? And I think that brings up a good point that I think it's both, really, even if I don't know exactly what the writer meant. But really what we're seeing unfold here is God's kindness and providence being given out to Ruth through Ruth and Naomi, through Boaz. And that's, I think that's a good challenge for us too, that if we really believe that, that God's hand is at work in this world, that his providence is providing care and guidance for people, he does that through people. Throughout the history of the Bible, we see God will use anybody to bring forth his purposes, but he's especially going to use those who walk in God's ways and reflect God's mercy and character. And that's Boaz here, reflecting God's mercy, reflecting God's character. And along the way, this allows God's providence, God's care, God's guiding hand to be carried out in Ruth and Naomi's life. And the fact that Boaz, who had high standing, offered this mercy towards Ruth, who was a foreign woman who would have had low standing. And it reminds me of what's said about Jesus in 2 Corinthians. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. You know, Boaz really lifted up Ruth in this story. He didn't just give her food, but he really lifted up her standing. You know, she was drawn into Boaz's circle. She wasn't pushed to the edge as the foreign woman who will do as little as we can for, but he was brought right into his, literally his circle as they ate there and as he provided for her. God's providence is being carried out. God's care and God's guiding hand is being carried out through Boaz. Just to close this, in the Heidelberg Catechism, or I think it's the Westminster Catechism. Don't quote me on that. But this is the question that is asked in that catechism, one of them. What do you understand about the providence of God? And this is what the person is supposed to answer. The Almighty, everywhere present and power of God, as it were, by his hand, he upholds heaven and earth with all creatures, and so governs them that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things come not by chance, but by his Father's hand. That somehow through it all, God's there guiding, you know, through the drought and through the deaths of these men, God was there. Through their return to Bethlehem and Boaz's kindness, God was there leading his purposes in all circumstances towards his intended end. And so just want to, again, quote Romans 8:28. We know that in all things God works together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Doesn't mean everything's good, but through it all, God works towards his purposes. And so, as it was mentioned here a couple times, the ultimate outcome affects all of us. That Ruth and Boaz, as they get married, their great-grandson is David, and as that line continues, the Savior is born in the line of David, who becomes the Savior and the Redeemer of all creation. And I'll close with this verse from Ephesians 1. God has made known to us the mysteries of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in Christ, things in heaven and on earth. Until Christ returns and everything is brought under God's complete plan, there's going to be these trials and struggles like Ruth and Naomi went through. There's going to be times of being provided for, times of blessing, and times of the birth of children. It's all leading. God's using it all to lead towards his purposes, especially as we walk in faith and trust him through it all. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for this story, how it continues to speak to our lives, how it reminds us that you are a God over all, and you, by your hand, are guiding us and protecting protecting us and caring for us and leading all things towards your redeeming and good and life-giving and eternal purposes. Lord, help us to keep the faith, to be those who are your hands and feet along the way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.